pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, Q, welcome back to the podcast. 7-0. Another week, another win.
That's right.
How you feeling?
I feel good, you know, another week, another win, another podcast trying to move to 8-0. I mean, again, there's a few things we can count on as long as you and I are breathing. And as long as these pokes keep winning, you can count on a podcast coming from the two of us every week. And so here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Missouri didn't, you know, it's funny because you start the year and it's like at Missouri, you're like, God, you know, that's a tough game. And
right.
You go out there, you lose Blackman at halftime, and did it really feel like that game was ever in doubt?
No, and it was one of those where you won by 21, but it felt like more than that, if that's possible. Like, it didn't even feel that close, really, ever. I mean, we were pretty much in command the whole game, and so, I mean, there's not, and the thing is I think a lot of people are saying that Missouri is 3-4 and not that great, but I mean, look at their four losses. They lost at OU, they lost at Arizona State, they lost at K-State, and then OSU at home. I mean, those are four pretty tough losses. So I think Missouri's a lot better than you probably think they are, just because they're 3-4. And for us to go up there and pretty much just like dominate and have no problems at all says a lot, I think.
Yes. This is going to sound weird, but I thought their defense was, I mean, it was pretty decent. Like, I didn't think they were bad.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, it wasn't like, I think we were just making plays and it never looked close from that regard, but I don't think it was because they're not skilled or not, you know, not a great team.
Was that as good as you've ever seen Whedon look?
I don't know. What was that game at the beginning of the year? There
Arizona?
Was, what, well, yeah, at the beginning of the first half of the Arizona game, he was, I think, more on than that, wasn't he? I mean,
it's comparable, yeah.
But they were both, I think, efforts where it was just like every single throw was right where it was supposed to be. I mean, no question. And the thing was, I think we had the impression that because of the drops, you know, it hurt his percentage, and that's kind of sucks for him. But yeah, he was on fire.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody. He threw a ball to Tracy Moore in the second half that Moore dropped, obviously. But
yeah.
He had a guy on his back, and it was like – it was kind of over the middle. And, I mean, he hit him in the hands. I mean, it was an unbelievable throw. It was probably 15 or 20 yards downfield, and he was running across the middle, and he just hit him in stride in the hands.
Yeah.
I mean, with a guy draped all over him. It was unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, he was – the fact that he continues to get no Heisman pub just blows my mind. It's so frustrating because most of the time the Heisman's all about just a good player on a great team. And well,
today,
I don't get it.
And I might write about this at some point this week, but I was starting to, you know, you got Andrew Luck and you've got all this, you know, obviously Heisman publicity and with good reason. He's awesome. Big Hands Andrew, as you call him.
Right.
Isn't that what you call him?
I think I'm calling him Big Hands Andy.
Big Hands Andy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because his hands are abnormally large, you say.
Yes. Well, they are. I mean, it's not that I say it, it's that they are.
Okay. No, you're right. I mean, what does he, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic here, but what does he do? What has he done over the last 2 years that is so much better than Whedon? I'm not saying he hasn't. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's the best quarterback in the country. But he's 20-1. Whedon's, he's 19-1. Whedon's 18-2. Their yardage numbers, touchdown numbers are similar. I mean, I just don't. And that's not a knock on Luck, but it's more of a referendum on people who aren't giving Whedon the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, if you look at the ESPN experts poll, the ESPN Heisman watch this for this week. It says, and he's still number one. And I think he actually went up from last week because Russell Wilson, because Wisconsin lost. So Russell Wilson lost some of those votes. And so Luck went up. And it says Luck didn't put Stanford on his back and he didn't need to. The Cardinals leader had a conservative 16 for 21, 168, two touchdown performance, leaving his running backs to rake up the yards. I'm sorry, rack up the yards. So I'm like, he did less. And they say basically he didn't do anything, but yet he got more points or more pub. I don't get it. It doesn't. And again, I'm kind of like you. I like Luck and I think he's a great player. And I think he's probably one of the best players in the country, if not the best quarterback, or maybe even not the best player. But I find it hard to understand how they're basing it, because I feel like usually it's based on stats or something like that. And I mean, I guess if I look at their list, at least ESPN's list, every single person on their list is on a team that's undefeated except for Robert Griffin and Landry Jones.
Yeah, I don't need Landry Jones ahead of Whedon in the Heisman.
No, I don't need Griffin ahead of him either. I'm sorry, but
Griffin, I can almost understand because he's been phenomenal they're a good team. They're not great.
True.
But What's the difference between Landry and Whedon? Besides one team has lost and one hasn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the difference is that Whedon's better. I think that's the difference.
I know. I don't know. And how about Kellen Moore? How about Kellen Moore being, I think he's 45-2 for his career?
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Kellen Moore is strong. I wouldn't have a problem with him winning. And I wouldn't ultimately have a problem with Luck winning either, and not just because I have him in our fantasy deal. I just want Whedon to get more run on this deal. I mean, we're ranked 3 in the BCS, and he's our best player. So why is no one talking about that? I'm sorry, but you can't say you could substitute in other quarterbacks and that we'd be 3 in the country. That's not the case. So he has to be given some credit for that, I feel like. And maybe if we run the table, he'll get invited there. I mean, I think there's no way he could win it at this point. I think he's too far behind. Unless maybe Stanford loses, or even then, I don't think it would matter. But
no, I don't think it would either. He's a system quarterback, though.
Well, that's what they think, and that was the thing. You know, I mean, Graham Harrell got screwed that year. He didn't get to go to New York. That was weak. But I guess at this point, my goal, like I have anything to do with it, my hope is that Whedon would at least get invited to New York City for the ceremony.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. And I think he's deserving. I mean, well, depending on what happens over the next
He could be deserving.
5 or 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah. I think Chris Winkie hurts him a little bit. I think the fact that Winkie won it and then did nothing in the pros, I think that falls on Whedon a little bit as being kind of a negative. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. That's a good point. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, because I'd always thought of it as, oh, well, a 28-year-old won it before. Why not again? But
I think it's more negative.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, so does that mean like a running back from Colorado can never win it again after Rashawn Salaam did nothing for your Bears in the pros? Or what?
Well, I don't think it means that, but I
no, I'm just.
Does that mean your boy Charles Woodson? Does that mean it? Well, never mind. He's been good in the pros.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Right. I freaking love Charles Woodson.
You would.
Any chance that Baylor pulls Texas Tech in Stillwater?
Well, I'm not going to say no chance, because I think it's pretty ridiculous when people give teams no chance of beating someone, but. You know, I think it's an understatement to say I'd be surprised.
Where would you be at emotionally if this team went 11-1 and Baylor was the loss?
I would not be in a good place emotionally. I'm just going to say that right now. I mean, my contention all along has been I would rather go 11-1 and lose to OU than go 11-1 and lose to anybody else. So just to clarify for those that may not be quick, that means I'd rather be undefeated the whole season and then lose to OU rather than lose to someone else and beat OU. Some of my friends, some of my sister, you know, my one sister, she doesn't like that. She'd rather go 11-1 and beat OU than go 11-1 and lose to OU. But my thing is, how much more fun is this ride for the next 4 weeks? 4 weeks if we continue if we continue to be undefeated. It's a lot more fun than it would be to beat OU one night to send us to the Fiesta Bowl.
Were you? I don't know how to ask this question other than, were you rooting for OU against Tech on Saturday?
I was. I wanted OU to win.
Doesn't that feel weird?
It does, because I usually don't want OU to win, but I definitely did. I think that Bedlam would be. I mean, it's going to be awesome regardless. Bedlam's always fun regardless, but how amazing it would be if we were both undefeated and it was basically a national semifinal. I mean, because now it definitely won't be a national semifinal. I mean,
right.
Pending just crazy other stuff happening where OU would actually have a chance to get back to the title game. So, I mean, now you're looking at if K-State beats OU this weekend.
I know.
Game day wouldn't be here for December 3rd.
No, it would be here
next week.
It wouldn't, because that's LSU Bama.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So
it just wouldn't be here at all.
Maybe not. So, yeah.
Which is fine. We don't, you know.
Well, I don't need Corso coming down here and putting on the visiting team's head anyway. And I definitely don't need Kirk Herbstreit coming anywhere near this team.
Okay. That's a great segue.
Yeah.
We got into an argument.
Yeah.
On Saturday about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a heated text argument. I mean, the bromance was definitely on ice for about 24 hours. It was one of those deals where I was thinking, man, I don't know if I need to call him and make sure we're okay, or it was not pretty.
Why don't you break down what the issue was?
Okay, so here's the issue. I'm watching game day Saturday morning, and really just watching the last 10 minutes, to see the picks before I turn over to FX, and get inundated with American Horror Story commercials for the next 3 hours.
Your girl was on there.
Yeah, it's sad because T Tammy's on a show, and I should want to watch that show, but she's on a show that I would never watch. I mean, she could be on almost anything else, and I'd give it a shot. And right. I never give that show a shot. So they're really losing, two viewers and you and I.
They're losing that 25 to 35 male demographic is what they're losing.
Right. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the picks and they get to OSU Missouri and Mateen Cleaves, he's up there. He picks OSU, which Mateen Cleaves, I wonder what he's done with the last 10 years of his life.
Do we know what he does? Let me Google that. Hold on.
Well, I mean, what do any of these guys do that aren't playing in the league? Who knows? He could probably do appearances all over Michigan, though, and just flash that smile and maybe show a video, maybe show the one shining moment video from the season they won it, and just kind of.
That was a great one shining moment video.
It was, yeah.
Hold on. Excuse me. He played for the Pistons, the Kings, then the NBDL, and then I guess that's the D League, and then. Yeah. Cavs, Sonics, more D-League, Russia. I mean, he's Greece. He played up until 2008.
Huh. And I'm sure he made a lot of money doing it.
On March 14th, 2010, that's my birthday, it was announced that Cleaves had joined Fox Sports Detroit as a Detroit Pistons studio analyst. There you go.
Okay, that's solid. I like it.
Yeah.
So he picks OSU, and we move over to Corso. He picks OSU pretty nonchalantly. They're not giving it much thought, and we get to Herbstreit, who's supposed to be one of the best analysts in the country, and he gets to do games with Brent Musburger, who I detest Musburger, by the way. He's Mr. Hype Machine. I just dislike him, but. I would take McDonough and Matt Millen over Musburger and Herbstreit any day of the week.
I've kind of been in McDonough and Matt Millen are kind of endearing to me. Just I kind of had, like, they've had us a few times, yeah. And Millen's kind of a goofball, but
right.
He kind of says like funny, weird stuff. And right. I think that McDonough's pretty good.
And I don't think McDonough's a hype hog, man. He doesn't love to just like hype every single thing up like it's the greatest thing in the world, like Musburger does.
Well, he was ripping on Texas and on their fans during the game, the OSU Texas game.
Yeah, but it's just like every single play that Musburger calls is like the greatest, most important play of that game. Anyway, let's move on. So Herbstreit's picking, and. He basically says that OSU is going to lose, and the only reason that he gives that they're going to lose, so he picks Missouri, and the only reason he picks Missouri is because the kick time is at 11 a.m. That's the only reason he gives. He doesn't name any players for OSU. He doesn't name any players from Missouri.
He's only got like 8 seconds.
I understand that, but the problem. Well, let's finish what else happened. Okay. What else? Okay. What happened okay. was throughout the game, especially early when we jumped on him early, it's 21-3, you know, Herb Street's not on Twitter. So I was mentioning Chris Fowler
Because he has a wife, unlike the rest of us.
So I was telling Chris Fowler to, you know, let your boy Kirk know, because we know he's not watching. Let him know that OSU's up 21-3. This, you know, this start time's not bothering him. You know, does Kirk know that OSU played a game after midnight? You know, I kind of laid off in the second half. And then at the end of the game, I said, you know, hey, Chris, just make sure and let Kirk know, because we know he didn't watch that OSU won 45-24. And you, out of nowhere, just text me. And said, you need to take it easy on Kirk.
Well,
go ahead.
No.
And so you go ahead. Just tell me what else you.
Well, you were just, you looked ignorant. because you made it. Yeah, because okay. you made it look like Herb Street or even Fowler, the way you were calling him out on Twitter, has some kind of agenda against Oklahoma State. And that's not.
And I understood what you were saying in that regard. And looking back, maybe one tweet at Chris about Kirk.
Yes, I would have been fine with one tweet.
And you're right. I probably, you know, went over the top, and I probably came out looking, you know, worse than Kirk Herbstreit to my 75 followers that I have, right? who also have to follow Chris Fowler, by the way.
Right. So it's like eight. Maybe, it's like me, you, Nolan, and like a million, and that's it.
So. You know, but I agree. That was maybe a little much there. But my thing is, here's the text exchange we had. Okay, just to give our listeners an idea of where the bromance was headed.
You've got this pulled up.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening. The first one I get hit with is, you need to take it easy on Kirk. He picks games. He missed ours. Who cares? And I said, don't pick games based on kick times. So I'm real short and to the point. And then I hit you with another one real quick. I said, I'm done. And then you said, so we shouldn't be excited about 2:30 games over 7 p.m. games, which, okay, that's absurd. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be excited about 2:30 games over 7 games. I'm not saying kick time doesn't matter. I'm saying that the, you know, arguably the number one college football analyst in the country should have a better reason for the number three team in the country to lose than they're playing at 11 o'clock.
He has eight seconds,
but he can't say, you know, I think Missouri's going to pull the upset today because James Franklin, you know, is going to have a big day. That to me is more valid than saying they're playing at 11 a.m. and that's why they're going to lose. Or
do we even know that Missouri
defense is going to really pressure Brandon Whedon and overwhelm the offensive line, and Missouri's going to pull the upset. I mean, I don't care how absurd the statement is if it's about the actual game playing instead of the kick time is going to be the deciding factor in this game.
I expect more
from somebody like that. I mean, it's not like I'm stepping out there and saying, well, you know, I think Clemson's going to lose to Georgia Tech this week because the kick time's at 11. Well,
okay, Traber, let me talk. Do we even know if that's the reason that he's giving for OSU losing, or was he just commenting and saying it's an 11 o'clock game, that'll be tough for OSU, I'm going to take Missouri?
Well, I don't know if that's his main reason for picking the upset, but that's the reason he gave on air. I understand he has 8 or 10 seconds, but here's the thing, Pistols guy. Okay, he's got 10 games that he knows he's going to pick all week long, and you know about how long you're going to have for each of those 10 games to say something. So you should be able to come up with some kind of quick little tidbit to give the people on why you're making that pick more than just a kick time. I'm sorry, but that's dumb. I would think that's dumb if it was about OU, Texas, USC, whoever. I just think that's weak on his part. And that's, over time, I feel like he's done less and less homework. And I understand he can't cover every team, but he should know more about the top 10, top 15 teams than he does, in my opinion.
He did make, in his defense, he did make like a 2-minute video earlier in the week that I'm not sure if I posted it or not. I think I linked to it, saying why Missouri was going to beat Oklahoma State.
Okay, and what were some of the things he said?
I don't remember. I'll be happy to email that to you.
No, I mean, that's fine. And again, understand that I understand where you're coming from. He's got it. He can't, you know, pay attention to every team. He's only got 8 seconds. Like, I understand those things, but I also think that there's some kind of, you know, responsibility he has to give us more than that about the number three team in the country or number four at that time.
You know what I have more of an issue with is, and I don't, are we done talking about Kurt?
Well, I mean, if you want to admit that I held you to the fire and am right and you're wrong, then yeah, we're done.
Well, we're not even arguing the same thing. So
no, I think we both kind of agree with each other and to some degree. Yeah, you may not agree with me at all, but
no, you wanted this to be some like, you know, just huge podcast argument, but we do both agree with each other. Okay. I agree that you're right. That's a dumb, like, if that's your sole reason for picking the game, that's stupid. But I think it legitimately could be a reason. I mean, it's the same reason that when we're all texting each other when we find out that the A&M game is at 2:30 instead of 7 o'clock at College Station when you got 90,000 Aggies swaying under.
Yeah,
the lights.
But I don't think any of us would say that's the only reason we can win. I wouldn't say that
it's a reason.
It helps. I would say it helps, but I wouldn't say it's the reason we win or lose a game. And that's not even really the point. To me, the point was just that it's like, you're Kirk Herbstreit. You should be able to say more to viewers about these teams than just what time they play in terms of why you're picking a game. I mean, you're not Lee Corso. You're not old. Okay? They don't just have you up there to put the head on at the end. Like, give me something. Show me that you know a little bit about these 10 games that you were asked to pick. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No,
I would encourage all of our listeners to leave comments and say that you side with me or you side with Pistols Guy on this as well.
Yeah, and that's fine. My my bigger issue, and I don't know if you saw the posts last week where I was talking about this these Football Outsiders statistics showing that OSU actually does have a good defense. Mm-hmm. When you take into account the possessions in the game or in games that were actually meaningful, where it wasn't a blowout or something like that.
Right.
I guess my question is, why do more national media members or sports writers not reference statistics like this? Why do, and I'm guilty of this as well. Why do we just go and say, oh, well, OSU gives up 500 yards a game on defense, they must suck, you know?
Right.
And not just OSU, but anybody.
Anybody,
like,
yeah.
Like, why do we go straight to these statistics that may or may not be accurate when we feel like we have more accurate statistics at places like Football Outsiders and CFBstats.com and different places like that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's just lazy. It's really frustrating because, I don't think if you look at it that you could say. I don't think you could look somebody in the face and really say that you think OSU's defense overall is as bad as those stats would indicate. Because I'm sorry, but in almost every game for the majority of the second half, they've had backups in. Maybe minus the A&M and the Texas and the Missouri game. So minus those three games, I shouldn't say almost every game, but so four games, maybe not even Arizona so much, but.
What are you saying?
I don't know. My point is that there's lots of reps where you don't have your starters even in there for OSU because you're blowing people out by so much. And even beyond that point is, I'm sorry, but once you get big leads in games, you tend to digress a little bit and just let up and not play as hard. And I don't think that – now, granted, that may still affect your stats and that may still be even your starters, but I don't think that's a true reflection of how good your defense really is. And my thing that bothers me even more is it's like we're number two in the country in turnovers forced. Like that is something. I'm sorry, but that like should stand for something really, really valuable or important in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because earlier in the year, I probably would have been one of those people that said, hey, we're giving up 500 yards. What's wrong with the defense? But, you know, in getting into blogging and to understand, you know, the guys over at Cowboys Ride for Free were like, hey, how about you look at these statistics and look at things through this way? And not just OSU. You know, I'm making it sound like I'm just trying to make OSU look better. But
anybody.
From an overall perspective, why aren't we looking at more advanced statistics that I think get us closer to a true understanding of how teams actually are, you know?
Yeah, I agree completely. It's,
I don't know. And it's, you know, it is interesting though, because you can't take one without the other. So it actually makes our offense look worse.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's not perfect, you know?
Yeah.
It never will be, but I feel like some of those advanced metrics are definitely more accurate than just yards per game.
And ultimately it doesn't really matter, you know, and I think we as fans, and I'm extremely guilty of this, like we want people to say good things about our team when they're really good. We don't want people to say negative things. That's why we're all up in arms about the idiocy of Thayer Evans. And
yeah, he was back at it today.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm getting to the point where I almost maybe need to just stop, like for my health's sake, looking at national stuff, because every time I read it, I just get frustrated. And the thing is, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares what they're writing? Like, it has no bearing on how the team plays. I think part of the reason I get frustrated is because of the way this system is set up. I feel like if enough people start talking about, you know, Stanford's really better than Oklahoma State, then what if we got screwed? What if, you know? I know the computers are helping us out in that regard, but you know, there's this big contingent for people that say Stanford is better. Well, I'm sorry, but Stanford doesn't have any wins that are as good as at A&M or at Texas, do they? I don't think they do.
I don't know. At Duke was pretty salty.
Yeah, I mean, Washington at home, I don't know. So, anyway.
I agree. I did want to talk about real quick the Kevin Durant charity basketball game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We both got to go. What was your favorite? I guess who was your favorite player to watch at that game?
Let's see. My favorite player to watch was probably Westbrook, just because I felt like he was trying to dunk every time he touched the ball. I think his first like 12 points were dunks. And I just kept like looking at my sister and I was like, he's got to do a dunk contest. Like he would be awesome in a dunk contest. I just think athletic guards are the most fun to watch in dunk contests, just because it looks a little bit more challenging and more athletic. I mean, KD, every time he dunks, it's like the same kind of dunk. He's so tall. He just, you know, not anything against him. It just doesn't look as fun. It's just not as fun to watch. So I really enjoyed watching Westbrook. I thought it was really cool. One observation I had that I really enjoyed was, before the game, Chris Paul was like, I don't know if you saw this, but he was like stretching and doing some like calisthenics with, I don't know whether it was like a personal trainer or what, but he had out some bands and I mean, he was like warming up as if it was a real game, whereas like every other guy was just out there just like shooting it left-handed, just, you know, shooting it from half court, just jacking around. And he was like, you know, going through his routine that I imagine he goes through every time he plays. It was pretty tight.
Yeah. I was going to say Chris Paul. I've always kind of liked him. I've never disliked him, but just watching him, I just feel like he's so unique. You know, I don't feel like there's really anybody in the league that does the same types of things that he does. I know that sounds like kind of weird and it doesn't really make sense. And I don't feel like it does unless you see him play up close, like, you know, see the things that he's doing. And it's almost like he's just two or three steps ahead of everybody else, even in a pickup game.
Yeah. I really like Chris Paul. I've always liked him. I mean, I kind of got into him when the Hornets were in Oklahoma City. And so I started to like him mostly because of that from the beginning. But he's a fun guy to watch, and he seems like a pretty good dude off the court from what you read about him. And so he was fun to watch. I tell you what I don't need is I don't need Michael Beasley becoming a star of any charity game, you know, exhibition that I'm at. I also noticed that LeBron just like – I feel like he just like – I don't know. I feel like he's like got a vendetta against the world. I feel like he – like, I wonder if he has friends. I can't see him ever just like chilling out and being like friends with people. I don't know. Does that make sense?
He seems
distant from everybody else or something.
I was gonna say detached.
Yeah,
and it's so difficult, dude. It's like you kind of see more up close in a small venue like that, because they're at the Cox Convention and You see how crazy and how almost animal-like the fans are that want to talk to him and get his autograph. And it's like, how can you not be, you know, how can you just not emotionally detach yourself from that? But I agree with you. Like, it doesn't really seem like he's got a whole lot of, you know, friends that play either. Like,
right.
The guys on the team that he's really that tight with, which right. is weird because you've got like people like Durant and Harden and Melo and all those guys who are joking around and buddies, and you know, right. it's almost like he's, I don't know. He fascinates me because I don't understand how he fits into the whole, you know, basketball scene and the NBA scene on the court or off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really weird.
And I sit there and I'm just like, it's, I don't know. It's weird to me because like I sat there and I felt like, you're talking about the Cox Center being a smaller venue. I felt like as I was sitting there, it was too big for that kind of game because I felt like that game never really reached like a loudness or an intensity or a wow, like this is awesome kind of feel. And I feel like had it been in a smaller venue, like a, I don't know, like a, an Oklahoma Christian University gym or somewhere where they could only fit like 3,000 or 4,000 people and everybody's right on top of each other, I think it would have been awesome because just the intensity I feel like would have built and people would have just been like in awe of some of the things that were happening.
How cool would that have been if they had it at Galgariba?
Yeah.
No?
I mean, that's still a pretty big venue, but you are right on top of the floor.
I'm just saying I think it would have been cool. I mean, yeah. I'm not talking venue here, I guess. I'm just saying I thought it would have been pretty neat.
One thing, though, that it just reaffirmed is I love the Thunder, and I miss them so much because the season should be starting this week. And I miss
them so much.
I do. I mean, I just – I cherish – that might be a strong word, but I just – I look forward to watching most of their games, and it's just sad. It's just really sad.
Yeah, it really is. On that note, I guess we'll get out of here.
I'd like to just point out that I didn't yawn. I got chastised by many of our listeners for the yawn last week. My defense, I was pulling a lot of late nights, early mornings, working on some stuff last week. And that was just, you know, that was out of my comfort zone doing a podcast that late. But
yeah, it was like 8:45.
Well, it was 10:30, so I don't know if you want to be a liar or a distorter of the truth.
It's like 8:45 Pacific. I'm glad we got our Herb Street differences worked out.
The bromance is still on.
Bromance is back. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully we'll be 8-0, and looking forward to Kansas State.
Go Pokes.
Okay, see you.